peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue this morning hearing the words of our Lord in what we have come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. You may be seated. Who are you? How might you answer that question? Isn't it interesting that the inflection behind the question will almost certainly inspire or direct the way in which you might answer? So if I were to ask, who are you? Well, it's entirely likely that your answer would begin with something like, well, I'm Connor Petrasek. Nice to meet you. Who are you? Change the inflection and you might offer an altogether different response. Who are you? And I suspect most of us, you know, the defensive hairs on the back of our neck stand up right away. And then your response might sound like, I'm the manager of this department. Who are you? I own this house. Who are you? Change it again to something like this. Who are you? And it invites a kind of introspection, how you might describe yourself without this threat of intrusion or some sort of implied criticism. And in that more inviting question, we tend first perhaps toward relationships. Well, I'm a husband, a father, a son, a brother. Perhaps we add to that what we do, the things that make up our occupation. I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, a computer scientist, a manager. Perhaps we add in a few other interests of our own to say, I'm a hunter, I'm an avid cook, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, not you, and so on. And you might add also to the answer a confessional characteristic. I'm a Christian. I'm a Lutheran. And how would we answer that question about someone else? Typically, that answer is based on our experience with that person and how that experience fits into our whole worldview. So if I were to say, Eric is a great guy. Well, it's because my relationship with Eric suggests that he's demonstrated to me characteristics that I would consider really admirable. And he's a great guy. If I say she's an expert, it's because I perceive a particular skill in her to be far more advanced than is, say, typical. But it's interesting that the same person could be described as an expert or as a novice, depending on who's answering the question and the context in which they live. Remember Jesus' famous question, who do people say that I am? Well, he knew that they didn't really know who he was. And so their answers could only reflect what they had observed or perhaps heard up to that point. And so the disciples replied, some say John the Baptist. He was the one that they knew was already in the region preaching about the kingdom of God. Some say Elijah, the one that the Jews were anticipating would again return. When others say one of the prophets, that is, someone new, sent by God to speak to them on his behalf. So as you reflect for a moment on yourself this morning, consider also, who would other people say that you are? Our Lord is teaching his disciples in this great crowd. And so in keeping with today's question, we might ask, who are they? these disciples? Fishermen, tax collector, peasants, really? Nobody in particular? Surely at this point in Jesus' early ministry, no one would have had much of an answer about them at all. And they were just an average bunch of guys following this mysterious rabbi. And Jesus suddenly makes this extraordinary and astonishing assertion. He says to them, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, we ascribe that distinction to people sometimes, rather informally, to say, "Boy, he is really the salt of the earth." But if we do that, it's because we are responding to what that person has already done. They have earned a kind of respect based on their lives. Surely the disciples, in Jesus' view, hadn't really earned anything at all. And yet he declares to them, "You are the salt of the earth." Now notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, "You have demonstrated yourselves to be the salt of the earth." No, nor does he say, "You should become the salt of the earth." Nope. Simply, "You are." Jesus declares it to be who they are. That is, their identity. And can you imagine if you were one who had been following this man, who you have already seen preaching and teaching, healing and gathering large crowds, and he made such a statement? Can you imagine the disciples' response? "Who? Me? What do you mean?" But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on. It gets better. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now think about that. Salt, that's sort of right here. That's in hand. That's handled personally. Right? So if you salt something, it's just kind of happening right around you. But light goes on and on in all directions. It's bold. And it's clear that Jesus means it to be understood that way, for he says, people don't light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. No, they put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. So he's saying that you are the light for your whole surrounding, he says to them. Notice again, Jesus does not say you could be, should be, or might become the light. No, you are the light of the world. Can you imagine the same sort of wide-eyed, dumbfounded response from the disciples? What? Us? So who are these disciples? Well, they are no more and no less than those chosen by God to receive the gospel of his grace and the commission to live it and to share it. And with that simple understanding, you too are the salt of the earth. You too are the light of the world, for that is your identity too. For this identity is conferred upon you in the same manner in which it was conferred upon those first disciples. You are salt and light because God has deemed it to be so. You are chosen to receive the gospel of God's grace here now, as throughout so much of your lives. He has worked faith in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has commissioned you to live and share that very faith. Now, how does one respond to that? I mean, if you truly embrace the magnitude of what Jesus is saying, then you also realize the extraordinary nature of this pronouncement over you. Your identity is as salt and light in the world. How do we respond? Well, perhaps we might first consider how we ought not respond. For one could take this identity that Jesus confers upon us by his grace and turn it into some sort of a boast. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Any questions? Well, it's a risk. Okay, it may not be a risk in quite such a silly manner, but Jesus realized that such a temptation to distort our identity is real. For he preaches on it in the very next chapter in this sermon. In Matthew chapter 6, we realize that you can take this identity as one chosen by God and make it all about yourself. Jesus says it in the next chapter, verse 1, he says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." Verse 5, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to be seen by men." Verse 15, "When you fast, don't look all disfigured as if to show off how pious you are." Well, then how do we respond to this identity? And for that, we turn back to the chapter of today's reading, chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus reveals the heart of the one who truly embraces this identity given to us by God. For Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." You see, it's a matter of motive. Does your light cast a glow upon you? Or does your light illuminate how wonderful God is and how his love and grace motivates our love and service? For the source of your light can only be the source of the true light. It's none other than Jesus Christ himself, who said in John chapter 9, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." His light came first. And his enemies thought that they had extinguished the light when he died on the cross. But they soon saw that same light explode in an even greater manner when he rose again on that Easter morning. When the darkness of everlasting sin had been extinguished, and the brightness of God's grace exploded forth and shone ever more brightly. And it still shines. For now, it shines in and through you. So once more, who are you? Who are you as one called salt and light by none other than Almighty God? I would encourage you to respond by first dismissing the temptation to focus on who perhaps you are not. Because so often the answer to a question like this sounds something like this. We hear people say, "Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a religious zealot. I'm not an activist." Those things may all be true. They may also be just an excuse. For our Lord said, "Let your light shine, that others may see your good deeds, your life lived out in the personal, individual manner in which God has ordained it before you." See, there is not a person gathered here this morning who cannot be salt and light in this world for the sake of the gospel, in the sphere in which you live, however broad or narrow you perceive that to be. I can't prescribe exactly what that will look like in your personal daily life, but I am confident that as you embrace your identity in Christ, God will indeed lead you, show you, enable you to fulfill his purpose in your life, whatever that may be. So long as we continue to resist that temptation to take our Christian light and hide it under a bowl. Your light may shine this week through a gesture of kindness, perhaps to someone you know sitting here this morning really needs it. It may be through acts of generosity. It may be through a spirit willing to forgive. Your saltiness may be evident simply in your willingness to acknowledge who you are in Christ. In a routine conversation with a coworker, a neighbor, a classmate, a family member. Now, of course, your best efforts and mine, they won't be perfect. We will still fail to add gospel salt where we had opportunity sometimes. We will again allow darkness to creep into our own actions, our thoughts, and deeds. But the true light of God's grace still shines upon us. The love of Christ will be ours. Our identity will be unchanged because our identity is declared to us by God. He said, I have called you by name, you are mine. I have declared you to be salt and light, and so you are. May we embrace and live what God has ordained in us for Jesus' sake. Amen.